coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Coach. How are you this morning?
Well, they keep saying it's too blessed to be stressed, and that's for sure. So, but you know, there is no, it's okay to be stressed a little bit.
Every now and then, but you know, I've said this, and I keep saying it, and sometimes I know I become redundant. But you know what? I have a feeling that sometimes things happen to us that we're supposed to relay a message that was given to me last September was that every day, every single day is a gift. I mean, it's a gift. I don't care how bad it is, how good it is. It's a gift.
Well, you've lived it. I can tell you that. You have certainly lived it,
it's
son.
It's just been a remarkable journey. We'll talk about that later on today.
Corey's on assignment. We say he's on assignment. He woke up this morning with a terrible migraine. I don't know about y'all, but our daughter Katie has struggled with migraines for a long time. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, it is a pistol. It is something tough to deal with, and so we're thinking about Corey this morning. And of course, I think last night he was at the big gala that they had down at the Battle House, where Palmer Williams Group got together. Cornelius Biscuit was in town.
Biscuit was in town.
And
did you ever see him play high school football?
Yeah, I watched him. He came. You know, this funny story. Let me tell you this story. They came when Steve was at Inslee.
Yeah,
They came down. They needed a place to practice. So, of course, we were at Northview and Dothan, and Enterprise was our – that was, you know, that was our – boy, that was our big rival. And so Steve had called, and so we worked it out for them to practice on our practice field. And I didn't know who Cornelius Bennett was at the time. I think he was a little younger at the time they came down there. And so I'm out there watching on practice, and all of a sudden this guy is, first of all, he's catching passes out of the backfield, and they put him at tight end. He's running fade routes, and he's catching everything. Then they put him back there at a running back, and I mean, he's a monster. And so then they go to defense, and they put him at middle linebacker, and he's going from sideline to sideline. So I asked Steve who that was. He said, just a young boy named Cornelius Bennett. He said, he might be a good player one day.
Mm-hmm.
You know his talk.
Yeah. You know, in that Enterprise game, if I remember this correctly, I may have this one wrong. Steve will tell me if he's listening. They moved him to free safety for the ball game.
Yeah.
And there was something that Enterprise did that they needed him to play free safety.
Well, they were running the wishbone, and he was the one downhill for the quarterback.
Yep.
That's exactly right.
That makes sense.
That's exactly.
So you can put three on a dive, three
that's
on a pitch,
right.
and Cornelius by himself is taking one guy.
You're exactly right. That's exactly what happened. Because I was in the stadium. I kind of had to go incognito because we didn't.
Right.
We weren't. You know, we were like the Apaches went to Enterprise. But, he could play too now, buddy.
Oh, man.
And let me tell you, the quarterback got rid of the ball.
Yes, he did. he was about 230.
Oh, my gosh.
Coming downhill.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, Lord have mercy. And the thing is, he's such a great athlete that he could line up, you know, in the middle of the field.
Right.
No matter where the wide side of the field was and take the quarterback on the option. And, that, I mean, you It's not. I tell you, another kid I saw do that played at Auburn was John Wiley.
John Wiley played free safety.
Yeah. That was back in the days when I had Greg Taylor. It was Greg Taylor, Wayne Blisma, and John Wiley were all on the same team at Opelika.
Wow!
Back in the late '80s. And man, they were.
John Wiley's a pretty good player.
You think? I mean, he was a good one.
He was one that a lot of people wish they could have had.
That's right. That's right.
So I remember watching some film on him, and boy, alive, man.
You know what we ought to do sometime? We do it all the time, anyways. Just get on here and tell stories. about ball games, any sport that we've played in or seen. I think folks would have a fun time with that. That'd be fun to do.
My friends in Dothan would rather me not do that.
I understand.
And I think one of the things, and you and I have both been guilty of this, I think in our younger days, we probably did not exchange too many Christmas cards with officials.
No.
Was not something that...
I got reprimanded on that a time or two. It needed to be.
Right.
You know.
Well, yeah, likewise. As a young head basketball coach in Birmingham, in inner city Birmingham, one of the few men of my race that were a head basketball coach in Birmingham, Jack Dawson, they called Jack the White Shadow. If you remember the old program,
I do.
Jack was at Hayes High School in the inner city. Of course, I was at Banks with David Cutcliffe, and David told me one night, he said, I don't know how you go all the places you're going, because you go downtown to Phillips, you go out to Fair Park, and you're in a minority. And it's okay, because there's so many great people that are that you coach with. Cap Brown just kind of took me under his son. I mean, I've told this before with Corey. We were playing Parker at Fair Park one night, and they were really good, and we weren't really good, but we were good enough to be competitive. And Cap had spent a lot of time with me. He'd come by Banks, and he'd sit down with me, and we'd talk. And he knew I was young, and I needed to learn a lot of things. But we're playing Parker at Fair Park, and Fair Park's packed. I mean, it's packed, Mark. And I mean, you can't breathe. And we jumped out early, had about a 4-point lead after the first quarter, and then in the second quarter, he put his starters in.
Oh God!
So they were on us pretty good by about I'd say by 18 or 19 or so, and I called a timeout. And when I called a timeout, I turned around and was gonna go sit on my bench, and Cap was sitting there, and he said, "Cleve, you go coach my team. I'll turn this thing around." True story. That was one.
There'd never been another one like Cap Brown.
No, sir. And he was, I loved him dearly. And he wrote me notes for as long as he could write notes everywhere I was. Yep. And but he was special. But
you remember who the football coach was at Parker back in the day?
Yeah, it was Cecil Leonard. Yeah, it sure was. Cecil Leonard.
Did he actually carry a paddle on the sideline?
Let me tell you, Cecil Leonard, there was not anything Cecil wouldn't do. And I'm going to tell you, he did it because...
He loved those kids.
He loved them. He was a lot... You know who I compare him to? I compare him to the man who coached at Blount, Ben Harris, for so many years.
That's a good analogy.
As a matter of fact, Cecil Leonard, of course, played at Tuskegee, and Ben played at Alabama State, and I'm sure they knew each other, but of course, Cecil went on and played with the New York Jets. And but Cecil was from Sylacauga. He grew up in Sylacauga. Played at East Highland.
Yeah.
He played for Haywood Sism at Sylacauga. I mean, at East Highland. And I'll be honest with you, Cecil always wanted the Sylacauga job.
Did he?
He did. And I'm sorry that they never gave it to him. He's a heck of a football
player. Oh, absolutely.
And he loved those kids.
Yeah, I tell you, those kids back in those days at Parker, man, when they showed up to play, you better be ready to go, because they were unbelievable. They did some stuff with their quarterback. Their quarterback, I remember, he would drop back on a play. Like, if he's going to drop back and throw a 15-yard out, he'd drop back almost 9 to 10 yards.
Yeah.
That was his deal, he was going to get so far back that they weren't going to touch him. And so I remember Sav telling a story about that when they played him, they just rushed at his feet.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't get to him.
No, couldn't get to him.
When he quarterback, they just tried to get to his feet. And I can't remember what that quarterback's name was.
Well, he wasn't very big, I can tell you that, because Cecil always had a small kid that could run the ball as well as throw it.
That's right. Well, those are good times.
Those were great times. And then, you know, and I think about Birmingham now, and I think about Legion Field and the things that are going on there. We used to call it the football capital of the South. Of course, it's not there anymore. But we used to play great high school football at Legion Field. And I know David and I used to, every Thursday night, we'd be at Legion Field, and then they built Lawson Field over on the other side, right, over by Eastwood Mall, and started moving some of that out there. But, boy, it was some great times. Inner-city football, but inner-city basketball was, you better buckle up and
no doubt
hold on. Hey, you're listening to Prep Sports Report, and we appreciate all of our folks along the line on WRFS 105.1 at Lake Martin, the Lake, and WYA 106.5, Sylacauga, on Radio Alabama. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5.
The Premier Motorsports communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
This is the day of the expanding man. That shape is my shame, there where I used to stand. It seems like only yesterday I gazed through the glass at Ramblers.
Thank you.
All right. I just wanted to hear a little
bit. I tell you what, you keep letting that play, I'm going to start singing with them. It's going to sound horrible, but man, I love to listen to them guys sing.
I'm going to tell you right now, boy, I could go on a trip with Steely Dan, that's for sure.
Have I told you what happened? Have I told you the story about what I did when I had my ICD unit put in my chest about. I'm not going to go into all things.
But I want you to hold it because we got J.D. Pruitt.
Okay, awesome.
I'll hold that story. Of course, wasn't too long ago that Brent Boyd decided to step down over at Spanish Ford, and it didn't take the guys at Spanish Ford long to find the guy that they were looking for. Of course, they hired J.D. Pruitt out of Enterprise High School, and Corey was able to get in touch with J.D. a little bit earlier this week and got him on, so we're gonna talk to J.D. right now. Coach, good morning, pal. How you doing?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. Mark Lassiter, Rick Cleveland, about 42 years in this business, and I don't think we've ever crossed paths. Of course, I spent a long time at Northview and Dothan, and guys at Enterprise, we didn't exchange Christmas cards, I can promise you.
Hey, I tell you, that's for day, sir. I think, you know, when I got over to Enterprise, man, that's one of the first things they ever told me, man. They said, there's two things you don't do here as a coach, and that's lose to Northview and lose to Dothan. So I definitely attest to what you're saying.
Well, J.D., congratulations on the Spanish Fort job. We think it's one of the premier jobs in the state of Alabama, and you have certainly done very well with your stops. I want to ask you, did you play for Earl at GW Long?
I did. I sure did. I was a part of three state championships there with Coach Miller. And, man, you want to talk about, again, a program that has had continued success with his son now at the helm there. So, I tell you what, just from a playing career aspect, you want to talk about, you know, somebody that's just been blessed to have played for a lot of the coaches that I've been able and been fortunate enough to play for. And that, again, that's Earl Miller, Greg Goff, that was obviously recently at the University of Alabama, that's now at Purdue, and then obviously, you know, playing and getting drafted in the Oakland A's organization and playing for a lot of really good managers there. So, man, I just say, man, I throughout my playing career, man, just somebody that's, you know, been extremely blessed to play for the coaches that I have.
You know, it's kind of funny that you mentioned Earl's son. Of course, Earl's son, I think, if at one time held the home run record in the state of Alabama and probably does still. But, of course, as a college umpire and having umpired for college baseball for 26 years as well, spent a lot of time at Troy, and I saw him hit a ball one time. If it's the same kid that's now at GW Long, he hit one in Troy. I think it went all the way. If I'm not mistaken, it might have landed in Dothan. I mean, that boy.
I tell you now, there's three sons.
I didn't know there were three.
I didn't.
Yeah, there's three of them. So the oldest, Drew, he's actually the head coach there at GW Long now, and Wade Miller, which is the middle, he's the one that holds the national high school run record in the season with 30.
So did he play? He played at Troy.
Both of those guys played at Troy.
Yeah, okay. That was him. Well, he hit. Well, I'm telling you, JD, he hit once before. I swear, I still don't think he's come down. I really don't.
Well, I've seen him hit a couple there, and a lot of other places as well, man. It was impressive to watch those guys hit again. And Drew, which is the oldest, and again, he was one home run away from tying Bo Jackson. I believe it was his junior year, and then when Wade came along, he obviously broke the Alabama record, and then went on to break the national record. So, you want to talk about some guys that could swing it, man? And I tell you what, again, just fortunate enough to watch those guys as a young player, and learn under those guys, man. I tell you, man, it's just a lot of things that I've been able to take away from them.
Well, now you're going to get to know a guy that kind of started that tradition at GW Long. If you hadn't met Kevin Raley, he's one of the finest men in our sport in baseball.
Without a doubt.
I hope you know Kevin, but if you don't, you'll get to know him. Of course, he's with us at UMS right now, and he's done a remarkable job there. Yeah,
he's done an awesome job, and Coach Raley was, again, what you were saying, he was there in I believe '89. I believe was his last year there, and he won the first state championship there at GW Long, and then he moved on to Robertsdale. But again, no Coach Raley. My older brother played under Coach Raley, and so there's obviously that connection there with us. But again, like you said, man, just one of the finest individuals that I've ever had the privilege of being around. You want to talk about someone that, with just the years of experience and what they can bring to the game of baseball. Again, someone that I definitely try to pick their brain anytime I get the opportunity to.
Well, another thing, a lot more important. You made a statement to whoever interviewed. I don't know if it was Ben. It was Ben Thomas. But, somebody told you one time that you're going to, and this is, Mark, this is right along what PSR is all about. He said, you're going to coach a lot more fathers and husbands than you are Major League Baseball players. And
that's right.
If you follow that credo, then you're going to be a success, I can promise you. Prep Sports Report's been on the air for 17 years, and I can promise you every Saturday morning that is exactly what we talk about, because we've been in this a long time together, Mark and I, and I can promise you it's we've coached a whole lot more husbands and fathers than we have professional athletes, but that's the genesis of what coaching's all about, pal.
Oh, without a doubt, man. I think, when I decided to, to get into coaching, people have always told me that I was always mature beyond my years. You know, I'm sitting here at 33 years old, and I feel like, man, sometimes I sound like my dad. Again, when I got into coaching, man, I think that was one thing that I really wanted to do is to take, first of all, take everything that I had learned through my experiences, both good and bad, and try to teach and mold and mentor, young men to where they can be positive influence on people throughout their lives. And I think, through this transition, I think one of the most satisfying things that, because again, it wasn't easy. It was an extremely tough decision for myself and my family, to make the move and to accept the job at Spanish Fort. But, I think one of the greatest things that I can really kind of hang my hat on making the transition and moving on, I've had countless, players, to call and text former players, to call, text, message, and just to thank me for everything that I did for them, and how I helped them become better men and better people. And we all know, as people and as parents, man, there's times where you got to hold these guys accountable. And man, I can tell you this, man, one thing. I grew up in a day and age. obviously being from Skipperville, just a, you know, a small town, country town. My father didn't graduate high school because he had to go to work and provide, you know, help provide for his family. So, so in saying that, you know, I was brought up, man. And my dad always told me, well, you know, after he would, you know, get finished, you know, spank my backside, he would always tell me, he said, son, that hurt me a lot more than it'll ever hurt you. And I never understood it at that time, again, as a child. But, man, as now being a father, being a coach, you know, again, man, you got to hold these kids accountable to being able to make great decisions. Because, again, we all know that one bad decision and one mistake can affect a whole lot of people around you. So again, that's one of the biggest things that you know, I've been able to, you know, kind of take away and take with me into my coaching career, man, is just, man, just being a positive influence on people as much as I can. And again, you know,
hey, JD, stay with me just a second. We got a hard break. If you'll stay over for the next segment, we'll talk some more. We'll be right back with more on PSR with the new head baseball coach at Spanish Fort, JD Pruitt.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
All right, welcome back to Prep Sports Report, presented by our good friends at Alpha. And we are live in the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai studios, just like we've been for 17 years, right here on FM Talk 106.5 for the last three. Those other 14 were great years as well, and we certainly, certainly enjoy hearing from all of our friends across the state of Alabama. We're talking to J.D. Pruitt, the new head baseball coach over at Spanish Fort. His pedigree, Mark, is certainly something that we both enjoy hearing.
Absolutely.
And it's good to know that we got somebody that's got some connections to some places that we're familiar with. But JD, I know in taking this job at Spanish Fort, Mark and I both agree that the Spanish Fort baseball job is probably one of the premier jobs in the state of Alabama. You were in a location, and when I talk about a great place to raise a family, and congratulations, you just y'all have welcomed a new member of your family in, and I know that you're excited about that. It's got to be something that's of course it is a life changer, but at the same time, to welcome a new child in and to bring them in when you make a move is a godsend, we know. But in taking this job, you move from the Wiregrass into what I think is the best place in Alabama to live on the Eastern Shore. Kind of go through the step, the process that you went through in accepting this job.
I talked to countless people, a lot of people, a lot of my mentors, you know, people that I really trust and I value their opinion. You know, I think, you know, first and foremost, you know, to be honest with you, man, I was extremely happy where I was. I love Enterprise, Alabama. Reiterated before, man, that's you know, where my kids were born, my twin girls, and obviously my son being born this past week. That's, you know, where they were born, and you know, just a lot of really special memories. You know, with my wife and I there in Enterprise, and like I said, built a lot of really great relationships there with a lot of people. So again, I wasn't looking to go anywhere. I was very happy where I was. But again, you know, when a program, what you reiterated earlier, when a program like Spanish Fort gives you a call, you know, you're gonna listen. And when, you know, went through the interview process with those guys and Mr. Williamson and Coach Blackman, you know, gave me a phone call to let me know that they were going to offer me the job. Again, that was something that, again, like I said, I really needed to talk with some people that I really entrusted. And one guy that I'm pretty sure you guys are familiar with, and that's Coach David Faulkner, which is the head football coach at Enterprise now, that used to be at Hoover and Foley and Fairhope High School down there in the Bay Area. So again, someone that I really trust, and someone that I've learned a tremendous amount about and from, just, you know, being under his tutelage as an assistant football coach there in Enterprise. And, you know, I think, you know, one thing that I really, really struggled with when I spoke with him was, I don't know if I can leave my kids here. Because that's one thing that I really I hold a high sense of pride in is building great relationships with my kids. You know, I tell my kids all the time. I said, "There's Coach Pruitt, all right, and then there's Daddy Pruitt." And so if they need to talk about something, I ask them, "Who do you need to talk to?" And so you know, I just didn't know if I could leave my kids there, because I truly have a great relationship with those guys. And one thing that he told me that it really resonated with me, he said, "You know, when you're making a decision as far as moving schools or whatever the case may be, you can't determine your final decision on kids." Because he said, "This is the thing." He said, "You know, these kids here need you, but where the place that you're thinking about going, those kids need you just as bad." And so that's something that again, something that really stuck with me. And you know, again, just looking at all the pros and cons to it, man, I thought it was a great opportunity for my family and myself to accept the job and move down there and again to lead one of the premier, one of the best baseball jobs in the state of Alabama. When you're looking at everything.
We're talking to J.D. Pruitt, the new head baseball coach at Spanish Fort High School, and you're going to a great community, I can tell you that. Of course, their tradition in football and baseball is second to none. They just hired a really good friend of ours to be the new head basketball coach there, from Jimbo Tolbert. And so with two new coaches and two of the premier sports in that community, it's going to be a change for a lot of people, but it's a very positive change. And we're excited for both of you. But now, and finally, the last thing I want to ask you, JD, I want to ask you about travel baseball, because it's something that we're I don't want to say we're adamantly opposed to, but we think kids today need to play as many sports as they can play for as long as they can play them till a decision is made. And we think and our position here is that kids are overdo it by playing travel baseball, sometimes to the extent of playing almost 12 months of the year.
Right. I completely agree. I'm in complete agreement with that. You know, being from a small town, again, you know, I was a kid that played all three sports. And in my personal opinion, because, again, I do have a sports performance, strength and conditioning background as well. And, again, whenever you just look at everything, when you look at a lot of kids that play multiple sports, in my opinion, these are your kids that are going to be a lot more athletic.
Right.
And when you look at from an injury prevention standpoint, those kids that play multiple sports, those kids are going to be the ones that are a lot, in my opinion, are going to be the ones that are going to be a lot more healthy, as well. So, again, I think you know the pros to playing multiple sports outweigh you know the other end of it. So, I'm a huge proponent of it. I think it keeps kids fresh mentally. Because, again, as you get older, again, you see it with kids that play the travel ball essentially in 11 months out of the year. As they get older, you see a lot of kids with burnout.
Right.
And you hear the term of, "Well, I just lost my passion for the game." And so I think it keeps kids fresh mentally. Because I can sit here and I can, again, I try to use my personal experience, you know, in my that I've gone through into my coaching. And I can sit here and I can say, man, when it rolled over from football season into basketball, man, I couldn't wait to start basketball because it was something new.
Right.
And then same thing rolling into baseball. So so again, I think, you know, just looking at it from that aspect and that standpoint, man, I'm a huge proponent of it, man. I want my guys to be as athletic as possible with everything that we do system wise, and again, I want our guys to be passionate about what they do. I want our guys to play with great energy and like I said, with a great passion. And again, just being fresh mentally, because again, I played the pro ball and I know what that life looks like playing that thing every single day. It is, man. It is a grind once you get to that level. And so again, and even as a high school athlete, even if you know that, hey, my future is going to be in this sport. again, man, you're only going to get so many opportunities to play the other sports. And to be part of a community and to help a school be successful in other things. And again, man, that's what I'm all about. I want our kids to be servant leaders, and that's not only for our baseball program, but that's for our community and that's for our school as well. And so, if you have the ability to play another sport and to help another sport be competitive and have success, man, I think, in my opinion, it's a no-brainer for that athlete.
JD, thank you so much for taking time away from your family to spend with us this morning on PSR, and we look forward to talking to you down the road, pal. Take care.
Man, I appreciate you guys having me.
All right, take care.
Best of luck, Coach.
That's JD Pruitt, new head baseball coach at Spanish Ford High School. Let's go to the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines and talk to Dennis. Dennis wants to talk about Legion Field more. We may start telling stories.
All right, I like it.
Dennis, how you doing, pal?
Yeah, y'all made me get a big smile on my face this morning when you were talking about Legion Field. I'm probably older than both of y'all. But I was a Tuscaloosa Black Bear.
What year did you graduate high school?
77.
Nah, you're like younger.
Hey, I played against him.
You did?
Yeah, because when I was at Butler High School.
Oh, y'all beat us.
We came down and played y'all in 76 on Bears Rug.
That's Billy Henderson.
We scored one touchdown. That was Bobby Marks, Coach Marks' son. Ran a touchdown back on y'all, and that's the last time we saw the ball, I think. Y'all beat the crap out of us. It was 28-6, I think.
I think you're right. That's awesome, man. That night playing in that, for me,
yeah.
We had just moved back to Alabama. I'd been gone since the middle 60s, and I'm an Alabama fan. I loved all stories about it. And so we get to go. When I walked into Denny Stadium that night, I was like, holy cow, this is Bears Rug. That's what they called it, the carpet in there. And so, that's a great – I appreciate you bringing that up. That's awesome.
That's not my story.
I know. Okay, go ahead.
Hold on, Dennis. Let me ask you this.
I will tell you what my story
– Dennis, let me ask you this.
The year before that, we were in the – we had a much better football team that junior year. And the year before that, we played Woodlawn in Legion Field. And beat them 19-0. And then we went to Bryant Denny the next week and played Walden Lee, and they beat us by a couple of points to win the state.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I tell some young kids that we played in Denny Stadium and Legion. We played all of our home games at Denny Stadium Friday night.
That's right, exactly. Didn't it?
And you tell people that, and they look at you like your head snaps on. They don't believe you. But
right. Those
are great memories.
So you played for Red Lutz.
Red Lutz
and Billy Henderson.
Billy Henderson.
Oh, okay.
Coach Tarleton was our basketball
coach. Tommy Tarleton. I can tell you some stories about Tommy.
I coached with Red's son, Bill.
Bill.
At Benjamin Russell.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Hey, where's Bill now?
He's retired and living in Alex City.
Hey, Dennis, thank you for that.
Stay in touch with us, buddy.
Thank you, man. Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Man, that's awesome.
All right. Gosh, I wish he was older than me. I love him. Hey, we'll be back with more PSR right here on the Prep Sports Radio Network.
Keep up with PSR every day. Follow Prep Sports Report online at facebook.com/PrepSportsReport1065. Follow on Twitter at twitter.com/PSR_1065. This segment of the Prep Sports Report is presented by Future Ones, providers of practice apparel and scout team jerseys with interchangeable numbers. Now, back to the show.
Double wide quick stop, midnight tea top, Jack in her cherry coat town. Mama and daddy put the...
I love Kenny Chester.
You ever drink a cherry coke?
No, did I drink a cherry coke? Yeah, no, I didn't put peanuts in a cherry coke.
I put peanuts in a RC Cola.
Yeah. That's exactly
right. Or you have an RC Cola and a moon pie. Or you can get those... Remember you get the old glass... Used to be those glass bottles of Coca-Cola, and you pour peanuts in them. I think that's what I had, was Coca-Cola with peanuts in it.
It broke my heart when Coach went to a dime and they made a bigger bottle, but we were cheated.
Hey, do you remember going down on the streets and picking up people had thrown their glass bottles of Coke or whatever on the out there. They throw their glass bottles out the window of the car, and you could take them back to the store and get a nickel for them.
Sure.
So we'd go up down the streets, you know, every Saturday, see if we could find some, you know, out there on the main road.
My mama had a pile of bottles under the kitchen sink.
Y'all are poorer than I was. I thought I was poor. Y'all are poor. We saved them bottles. Got to give a plug to a couple of people. And first of all, every year at this time, somebody on AL.com comes out with the top 10 seafood restaurants in the state of Alabama or wherever. Well, Cravers is right in the middle of that. They were number two this year. I want to see who number one is. Yeah, wherever number one is, I want to go there as soon as possible. My buddy Skip Poe up in Montgomery, he's a high school and a college football official and the guy that played for us at Prattville, he kind of made a comment on social media that if you hadn't been to the Gulf Coast and been to these seafood places down here, you really hadn't had real seafood. But if you want real seafood, fresh seafood, the best seafood, and what I think is on the Gulf Coast, if you're searching for the perfect gumbo, the tastiest shrimp, fried to perfection fish, you don't have to look any further than Craver Seafood Restaurant. Got two locations now, two locations. One in Daphne and one where Corey LeBounty's mama spends about half of her time. And Corey does too, he just won't admit it. But we got a new location out here in Mobile. And the Craver family serves the freshest quality seafood at great prices in a casual, fun atmosphere. They love to grill, steam, blacken. So don't forget to come see our famously friendly staff for any occasion. Craver Seafood, a taste for the bayou.
You know what? I tell you what. You think every time we talk about Cravers, first of all, I go by there all the time. You know, all the time. I go by and see it. I don't ever get to stop and eat not as much as I want to. But I'll tell you what, that parking lot on 181 is always full.
It's packed.
That's one reason I can't go, because I'm in a hurry all day. I can't get into the parking lot. Anyway, but the great thing about the Cravers is the only thing better than their food is the folks who own that store.
Oh, man.
They're about as good of people as you ever want to be around, and I just appreciate them being a supporter of this program for all this time.
Well, you know, and a lot of people don't know this. Lou Ann Crawford is kind of their day manager. Golly, I love that girl. Love her to death. Her husband, of course, is our buddy on Channel 15. He's a sports guy.
Yeah, I talked to him last night.
He's such a good guy.
Good guy, yes, he is.
Just love him to death.
Yeah, he is.
He outkicked his coverage, by the way.
I did, yes.
So, but she keeps us posted on things going on. And then Lily Craver and the entire Craver family, just great folks.
Good folks.
Just good yep. folks. And so we're proud to be associated with those folks, certainly are, and been for a long, long time. St. Luke's baseball player, I'm going to tell you right now, Jeremiah Jackson just keeps on keeping on. He just signed a big contract with the Los Angeles Angels. He's a number 57 pick in the draft this year. Our folks down in Sylacauga, let me tell you a little bit about this guy. You folks in Sylacauga aren't nearly as familiar with Jeremiah Jackson, but some of you older folks there that are from Sylacauga, Childersburg area, let me tell you who this guy reminds me of. And this may hit you close to home, Mark, because you were the head coach at Childersburg for a while, but this was way after this guy played. Jeremiah Jackson reminds me of a guy named Johnny Simmons. Johnny Simmons was a number one draft pick in the supplemental draft of the Kansas City Royals. Played at Childersburg High School, multi-sport star, played football for John Cox, played baseball and I can't remember who the coach was at that time at Childersburg, but Johnny Simmons was a phenomenal high school baseball player, and he was also a scratch golfer, I might add.
Was that Gary Graveman a coach then?
No, that's way before Gary. Yeah.
Okay.
And so Johnny ends up signing. He's offered a ton of money to play for the Kansas City Royals, but he wanted to play football for Auburn. Played for Coach Shug Jordan. Played in that same backfield, that defensive secondary with Dave Beck, the boy from Woodlawn High School, that little rascal that played like corner like you played, David Langner. He'd hit you in the mouth when you weren't looking.
Yeah.
But Johnny Simmons, Dave Beck, and those guys. But Johnny Simmons was the finest high school baseball player I saw growing up. Well, Jeremiah Jackson reminds me a lot of Johnny Simmons. As a matter of fact, I was sitting at St. Luke's watching one of Mike Szymanski's games over there, and I saw Jeremiah Jackson make a play that I'd only seen Johnny Simmons make. He went the third baseman. I mean a heater. They hit a heater to him. and it went right under his glove. Big hop. Jackson goes over, makes a play, throws the guy at first with a cannon. I mean, he throws a shot. It never gets over waist high. I mean, just a phenomenal play. Well, he's already been named Alabama's Mr. Baseball here in 2018. And he was honored by the Rawlings Glove Company, and that's pretty prestigious now. He's the 2018 Perfect Game Rawlings National High School Player of the Year. Mobile, Alabama, St. Luke's. What a just a tremendous honor for that school and for that young man, Mark. That is the National Player of the Year. You know, they play baseball in California, Texas, Georgia, Florida, and all other states. Yeah. This young man is the National High School Player of the Year.
That's an awesome thing for him and his school. And
man,
I just look forward to see what he does with it all the things that have come through, and watch him take that next step. That's going to be exciting to watch.
Well, he's won every honor that you can win. He's such a humble young man. He's a Coastal Alabama Player of the Year, Alabama Baseball, Gatorade Baseball Player of the Year. But congratulations to Jeremiah Jackson.
Absolutely.
Just what a phenomenal player. And he does. Reminds me of Johnny. And Cowboy. That was what we called him. It was Cowboy, Johnny Simmons. And it brings back a lot of memories from Talladega County. I'm tell you, they used to play really good baseball. I even think about guys, that left-handed pitcher drafted by the San Francisco Giants, Johnny Williamson from Childersburg.
Yep.
Hey, you folks in Talladega County, you can text us at 251-343-0106. We'd love to hear stories from our home. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.9.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
Listen to the wind blow. You know, I was playing golf yesterday, and when you play golf on the Gulf Coast, you hope and pray you get a breeze. You just hope and pray you get a breeze. Well, we're playing over at Rock Creek with my buddy Jamie Gardner and Paul Smith and Brady Leith and Jimmy Stocks. And, boy, we were having a great time, and it was getting really hot. And, boy, that breeze started coming in. And I'm going to tell you, that is a blessing. That is a pure blessing. And let me tell you, if you want to hear about golf, you want to talk about golf, you want to hear all the things about golf, from high school golf to college golf, to the mini tours, to the PGA Tour, to the LPGA Tour, you got to listen to the Southern Fairways Golf Radio Show. Randy Bergen and Danny Spivey do an unbelievable job talking, covering, doing. I mean, they give every aspect of the golf world, and they're both so knowledgeable. Randy's such a great host, and Danny, a former collegiate player at Alabama, as a matter of fact, played for his brother there, Dick Spivey, and just a great, great, great golf show, and I certainly hope you'll listen to it. 11-1 each and every Sunday, and as you're coming home from church, you want to turn that radio show on. Mark, just got a text from a guy that I kind of grew up with his family in Childersburg, and you know this guy, and you know we were talking about Johnny Simmons, and Johnny did play for Mike Box. And see, I was thinking that I couldn't remember if Mike was there in those earlier days, but boy, Mike Box was a heck of a baseball player. Played at Alabama. I think he played for Hayden Riley at Alabama, but that's back when football coaches were coaching baseball in the Southeastern Conference. But Pete's story, a tremendous high school football official, very well respected in the state office. I can remember talking to Greg Brewer and Steve on many occasions, and I'd ask, you know how, and wasn't anything that they didn't want me to say. He's as quality is in the state of Alabama. He's a guy that wears a white hat, does a great job, officiated many Super Sevens. But it's good to hear from Pete's story, because it just brings back a lot of good memories. But he said, you know, Johnny did play for Mike Box, as he did. Pete played for Mike Box as well. Wanted to tell you hello, and You got a lot of friends in Childersburg, buddy. You did a great job there.
It was a great place to be. I enjoyed my time there. And what's really crazy is when we went to Gordo, we went to Gordo in 2015, I think. Yeah. The year when Ben Davis was the linebacker, we beat them. That was the big upset up
and
there.
And I don't think Ben Davis is ever going to pan out.
No, he's not.
I just don't think he is.
But the official that night was Pete Story.
Is that right?
He walked up and I saw him and I said, "Holy cow!"
Oh, you felt good then.
Oh yeah. but of all the places to be, and then there's Pete calling, and that was a big ball game, Gordo was supposed. They kind of thought they were going to win it all.
It's muddy too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was muddy.
The field was kind of in quagmire.
It was because it really slowed Gordo down.
Yeah, we went up there and we took two fire trucks up there and went to the field that night.
Y'all some nice fellas. I appreciate that.
Hey, I have been on the coaching staff that's done that before.
I have too. We're not going to start getting.
No, we don't want to say where that was.
No.
But yeah, the local fire department did come and water the field.
Sometimes they had, the sprinkler system for some reason.
Oh, just came on. We coached in some bad times, Mark, I can tell you. Hey, we're talking about Randy Bergen in the Southern Fairways Golf Radio Show, which is a tremendous show, and I hope everybody can listen. Tomorrow, the Gulf Coast Golf Association Tour is going to be playing at Rock Creek. And I will be there. I threw a little 75 at them yesterday, Mark.
Yeah, you told me that yesterday, Eden. I was really impressed with that big guy.
Well,
That's great.
I wish Randy would have been playing. I could have got in his pocketbook just a little
bit. Just a little bit. That'd have hurt his feelings, son.
Well, he's so small, his feelings are,
Don't go there.
I'm telling you.
Don't go there.
You know I love him. But he and Joey Johnson have done a great job with that Gulf Coast Golf Association.
That'd be a lot of fun to go watch tomorrow.
There you go. Yeah. Come on out and ride with me. I don't ever ride with anybody. Nobody will ride with me, so I just...
I'll ride with you.
Okay, we'll do that. All right, let's go to Scooter. Hey, listen, Scooter, we got just a minute now. We're going to talk about what's going on with public and private schools. We're going to spend the next hour talking about that. But I know you want to talk about something that's really important. Mark's going to slam you with some kind of trivia, buddy.
There's a trivia. Wasn't it saying that John Ward passed away?
John Ward did pass away, Scooter, and I thought about you when I saw that, and as many times as I've listened to that.
How many legends are gone? The Caleb Leffers, the John Wards, the Jim Fikes, the Jim 40s?
Yep.
John Ward's famous call was when Tennessee was needed a foul shot by Bernard King. He went to Roar Build Up. He said, "Did he make it?" And the player was, "He made it." And he was always saying, "And the Vol Network."
And the Vol Network.
You know who the announcer was for Tennessee before John Ward?
I do, but I don't.
Lindsey Nelson.
Lindsey Nelson. That's exactly right. You're exactly right.
What do you want to stump me with, Mark?
Mark, he's waiting on you.
Man, I'm working on one right now. I think I got it. In addition to Nick Saban, what other Alabama head coach led the Crimson Tide to a win over Notre Dame?
Would that be Mike Shula? Was the quarterback? Would that be Bill Curry?
Yes, it was Bill Curry. You're absolutely
correct. He's pretty good.
He sure did. That I ever saw.
That's the most famous. One of the most famous hits in college football.
Why isn't Cornelius Bennett in the Hall of Fame?
That's a good question.
Good question.
That's a great question. Hey, Scooter, listen, I want to tell you this. Now, I want you to listen to me now. I'm going to hook you up on the phone. I grew up with a young man in Sylacauga by the name of Wade Bain. Wade has a son by the name of Lyle. Lyle knows Auburn football the way you know Alabama football. I want to get y'all on the phone together and just let y'all compare notes.
I know all sports.
I know. Well, you do. You do, Scooter. And baseball is one of the premier things that you know.
Mark grew up with Jack Buck, didn't you?
I grew up with Jack Buck with my transistor radio.
What do you think of his son, Joe?
I think he does an excellent job, but he's just not Jack.
No, Joe will never say go crazy, folks, like Jack did.
No, nope, you're right.
All right, give us that pump, Scoot.
Woo!
Thank you, Scoot.
God bless you, Scoot.
You know, I saw something this week, and then we're going to get into this private-public stuff. But, I was always a big Skip Carey fan. I did, because watching the Braves and the Hawks on TBS, that's all we could get for a while.
And that's all I wanted. That was good stuff back then.
Well, his son, Chip, there's a special about he and his son that they ran on Father's Day that just brought me. Of course, how emotional I am anyway. But to see that he has a son that has got a debilitation, and I mean, it is just, it is, boy, it is such a touching story. If you get a chance to see that, Google the story on Chip Carey, and you know that he does the basketball with Barkley and all of those guys, and but I just have a new respect for him. And if anybody's seen that or hadn't seen it, I hope you can Google it and maybe find it. But it is a tremendous, tremendous program that will buckle your knees if you hadn't seen it. Mark, we all know that St. Paul's Episcopal School here in Mobile filed a federal civil lawsuit seeking an injunction against the Alabama High School Athletic Association's recently implemented competitive balance rule. Well, Judge William Steele was to hear that case on Friday, but on Wednesday he came out and or his office came out and they said that they would not have a public hearing on that injunction. They have enough information, they feel like, that they didn't need to hear arguments in the courtroom from either side. And so Judge Steele will issue his own ruling on that at a time that he feels is appropriate. And I'm sure that there are, in the background, there's a lot of legal research being done by his the people in his office. This is something that I think will drastically change private schools in the state of Alabama. And let me say this to you publicly, because I know this is a hard subject for you to talk about, as it is me, because we have been in the Alabama High School Athletic Association our entire careers. And it's even more so for us because the man who is catching a whole lot of blame that he doesn't deserve to catch is a man that's a dear friend of ours. When we come back, we're going to talk about this injunction and where we think the Alabama High School Athletic Association is going to be when all of this is settled. We'll be back with more PSR with Mark and Rick right here on Radio Alabama.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
I woke up this morning and the sun was gone. Turned on some music to start my day. And lost myself in a song. I closed my eyes.
I love to watch Charlie Mark when we let that music play. He's got to understand that we're music people. And he said, are y'all going on the air with it? Oh, boy. Hang in there, Charlie. So, you know, I guess everybody in the 51 private schools in the state of Alabama are really just in a quandary as to not knowing exactly what's going to happen. I don't think any of us know what's going to happen. I think all of us expect the worst, though, Mark, and I'll tell you why. I think that the central board at the Alabama High School Athletic Association has probably had enough. I just think they've had enough, and I'm afraid what they're going to do. I don't think that when we hear them say they're going to kick the private schools out of the public school association, out of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, this is what I believe. And let me say this, as we're talking about this, I know you have been inundated with this from other sports talk shows in the city of Mobile, but you hadn't heard it from two coaches, and two coaches who've been in this business our entire adult life. And you can text us or you can call us at 251-343-0106 on the Premier Motorsports communication lines. But, Mark, this is what I would think that might happen. And this is strictly personal opinion. And, you know, our relationship with the executive director, and I don't talk to him about it. I have purposely avoided talking to Steve and because I don't think that's the – I don't think it's fair to Steve or myself because we're radio show hosts. I think down the road you may see separation just like we've seen it in every state that we're surrounded by. I don't think there's going to be any more integration between the public schools and the private schools in the Alabama High School Athletic Association. I think what they may do is they may put the public schools in six classifications and put the private schools, the 51 private schools, in a separate division, and hopefully it'll still be monitored by the Alabama High School Athletic Association. I don't know, Mark.
I don't know. I don't either. to me, this thing has become, I don't know. I go back to the old days. I just wish they put a bunch of coaches in a room. They fussed and fought and argued, but they came up with a decision and made the best decision they can make about it. And I'll say this, and I've said it before, I think the adding of the competitive balance to private schools only was a mistake.
It's unfair.
It's not fair.
Yeah.
I think that is and that's just when I've looked at it, and I know what a lot of people out there. I mean, and if you really want to call what this is all about,
yeah,
it's not really about it's about who's winning. It's about who's recruiting.
Yeah,
that's what they're trying to come up with. And because people, there's a perception out there that every private school in the state of Alabama goes out and tries to recruit kids from all these other places,
which is not true.
If you want to look at the whole thing, if it's recruiting is going on, it's going on in every school in the state, or it's going on in a public school and private school. It's going in both, if that's what the thought is. It's not just relegated to one group of schools. Now, my opinion doesn't really matter a whole lot when it comes down to this thing, but I think that the competitive balance rule, I think it was set up handcuff the private schools, to handcuff them. And it's really, and it's not, I think it's unfair. I don't think it's the right thing that should have been done. I think the whole issue right here, I still say the whole issue is about the perception of recruiting. I think that's what it's all about. They're trying to, you know, cut that out or punish you if you
punish if
you're doing good, you're having a good season or whatever. Because you know the perception. Well, the reason they're so good all the time is because they've been recruiting people. Well, that's not necessarily true. It's not true. Neither it is for every public school that goes out and has great wins. What about schools that go out and win every stinking year?
Yeah.
I mean, Hoover's won so many state championships in the last 20 years, you can't even hardly count them.
But Fort has.
Yeah.
You can't just go running around
saying it's all about the private school.
Right.
Because it's not. And if you look into the depth parts of those, into the what all has happened in the last 15 to 20 years, I mean, I can't remember them. I'm not going to share them, but there's a whole lot more public schools have won state championships than private schools.
Yeah.
Now, granted, there is not that many private schools in relation to the public schools. My point today is simply this. Competitive balance is it's out of balance. It's not right. If you're going to put competitive balance out there, then you put it for every school in the state of Alabama.
And I think that would eventually have happened. It would have eventually come to fruition. And I think that the state, I believe that the central board really had that in mind, but they wanted to give this just a small window to see how it worked and then put the public schools in with the competitive balance. That's just my belief. Now, maybe that wouldn't have ever happened, but Mark, I agree with the private schools when they say the 1.35 plus competitive balance is unfair.
I agree.
It's totally unfair. Yeah. Where this all got started was when the guy from Owens Crossroads that you're familiar with up in North Alabama, mm-hmm. when Richie Horton, a legislator from up there, Madison Academy was winning everything, football, baseball, basketball, everything. And let me say this. The people that suffer the most in high school athletics, and you've coached in place like this, are these small county schools that don't have any money. They don't have a tax base. If the legislature wants to get involved in high school athletics, then find a way to fund those county school systems so they can have the money to be competitive academically first and athletically second. They're not doing anything to help those small pockets of county schools that have no revenue. So that's where I wish they would have got involved instead of mandating to the High School Athletic Association that we're going to do something if you don't.
And I don't think government has any place in what we do in Alabama High School Athletic Association.
And neither does the Alabama Supreme Court.
Right.
Because every time, with one exception, every time that someone has taken it to the Alabama Supreme Court, then it's been thrown back to the Alabama High School Athletic Association. Alabama Supreme Court says it's not our job to monitor that or to be the taskmaster in that
situation.
We have a constitution. Yeah. If you don't want to be a member, don't join.
Just get out. And I do understand the things that are... I understand what's happening right now. I get what's happening.
Right.
I personally don't think they're going to throw the private schools out of the... or create a different deal.
I don't think they're going to do that.
I hope not.
Well,
I think that's
of course
another
we hope
mistake.
Not, Mark.
That's another mistake.
But they've had enough, Mark. They've had enough. They've had enough of this. They've had enough of the legislature mandating us. And now that they're in it, you think they're going to get out of it? You think the Richie Hortons in the world are going to get out of it?
Who do you think is going to make it? Is going to take us out? The legislature?
Well, no. The legislature's not. The central board is.
The central board doesn't need to take out the private schools because the legislature is threatening
to do
when
you say take them out, Mark?
I mean, I move them out of the competition that we're in now.
Well, I don't think we're going to be able to compete for state championships again. I don't think you are going to be able to compete for a state championship against the Clark Counties, the Piedmonts. I think that's over.
That's a sad day.
It is a sad day.
Because, I mean, I'll tell you something. I'm just going to take it base out. I love the fact when we go play T.R. Miller.
Yeah.
I like going up there.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be a great ball game.
Well, it was as long as Jamie was there, and now it's kind of turned around a little
bit. I tell you what, the guy they got coming in, he was at Leeds.
Yeah.
Holy cow, he's pretty good coach.
Oh, now, yeah.
He's going to get it going. I'm just telling you, I wish he'd stayed up there. We're in North Alabama. Etheridge, isn't he?
He's one of the best football coaches in the state of Alabama.
But we enjoy that game.
Right.
The game, the essence of the game itself is wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, because we know we're in for a fight. Going to play Hillcrest Evergreen.
Yeah.
Going to play Clark County. Going to play these folks. Going to Gordo. You know?
You can still play them. Yeah, you just can't compete for a state championship. You can play them, but you can't be in state championship play. It's a mess.
It is.
It's an absolute mess.
It is.
And do I wish that the injunction had never been filed? Absolutely. Wish we would have settled it internally. So. And they say they did try to settle it internally.
They did.
I don't know if they did or not.
I believe when they say that.
We'll be back with more PSR. We love your comments. 251-343-0106. Text us or call us right here on PSR.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
Sorry, Charlie. So we're talking about the lawsuit, and let me say this. I think the only way this ends, and it's not going to happen, and I understand. I mean, they've tried to file an injunction or did file an injunction, and the judge said there's no need for us to meet. We have all the information that we need. And I think the real question is, I don't think that anybody legally... academically, I don't think anybody disagrees that competitive balance, the way it's been implemented, is unfair. I think the question for the court to decide is this. Is it against federal law? I have no idea.
I don't either.
Have no idea. But I think that's the question that Judge Steele has got to deal with. Is this competitive balance as it is written now, is it against federal law? Now, my question again, Mark, is this. St. Paul's has come out and said that it is unfair. They've made this statement. Their attorney has been very candid and been very open and has tried to be as good as he could be to answer as many questions as he could answer without causing any harm. They have come out and said it is dangerous for our children to play at a 6A level. Well, they've played at that level. They've played those schools now. They've played the Sarah Lands. They've played the Spanish Forts. They've played them for them. Been pretty doggone good. Well, I think they've won more than they've lost. But now they've made the statement in a legal brief that it's dangerous for our kids to play. Now, what happens? My question is, what happens if the judge rules against St. Paul's? Then does St. Paul's then put their players on the field to play that schedule? And if your child is playing for St. Paul's, if that child gets hurt, is there some liability there? See, those are questions I don't know, Mark.
I have no idea.
I mean, because they've already come out and stated that as a school, they feel like it's dangerous for their players to play against this upper-level competition.
I think, you know, I'm going to put an analogy together, see if this works. A lot of times we see teams that play in the subdivision of the NCAA. They come up and they play one of the big boys.
Sure, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
They play them. And sometimes they win.
Yeah.
That's one ball game.
Yeah.
Now, if you take that same subdivision team and they play a 12-game schedule against every one of those big SEC teams, as the season progresses, the wear and tear on your football team is going to go down.
Oh, no doubt.
And the bigger schools with
depth yeah.
is going to beat you, and they're going to beat you up physically.
Yeah.
Because they're just more of them. They're not trying to do it. It's just part of the game.
Right.
And I think this is me thinking now, I mean, that's dangerous, but I think that's what St. Paul's is saying, is that if we get into this, yeah, we can play one or two, maybe three games with some 6A opponents.
Right.
But if we have to play 15 games to get to the state championship, I don't know if we can take that week in and week out.
And I agree with that, Mark. I agree with it wholeheartedly. I do. I agree that it is a disadvantage for them depth-wise. I do. Numbers-wise, it's totally unfair. I just don't believe that we need to be settling our problems in a federal courtroom.
Oh, I'm with you 100% on that.
We got to settle this amongst us at the Alabama High School Athletic Association. Now, if you talk to the people at St. Paul's, from what I understand from press reports, and you know how that goes, they took it to the Alabama High School Athletic Association and pled their case, and it fell on deaf ears. Now, is that true? Is that true? I just don't. It's hard for me to believe that the Alabama High School Athletic Association, if they felt like there was something dangerous involved here with kids. Football is a contact game.
Yep.
I mean, it is a collision game. Every time you walk on the field, there's a chance that you're going to be injured. Heck, every time we drive a car, there's a chance we're going to be injured. But at the same time, let's don't settle our problems in a federal courtroom.
Well, I think sometimes, you know, I go back. I think if coaches could have sat down and discussed this in some way, shape, or form, they could have finally found some middle ground on it.
Right.
You know, or it said, let's do it. But I don't know. I don't know that. But I do know this. Sometimes people get tired if they're not being heard. You know,
that's
if
true.
They're standing up there screaming on the top of the mountaintop, at the top of their lungs saying, this is not right, somebody listen, and nobody will listen to them or won't take what they're saying into consideration, then they may go a different route. And I think that's kind of what's happened here. That's what it looks like to me. Now, I'm not saying the central board didn't listen. I'm saying they listened, but they just voted the way they're going to.
Didn't take any action.
And that usually runs pretty much true to form.
Right.
They very rarely go back on something that they've already decided on or made a policy on or made a ruling on that's already implemented. They're not going to go back and do
it. Change
it. They're not going to change it.
No.
So the only way I think that St. Paul's felt like they could be heard was to do what they've done.
To take it to federal court.
And I just hate that we've had to go that far.
And really, they bypassed the Alabama Supreme Court because of the past history.
Where they knew
they
were going, which was going to be the same as always.
Right. So, and I understand both sides.
Yeah, I do.
And I, you know, I even though, and it's kind of difficult because I'm a UMS guy. I mean, through and through. But at the same time, as a talk show host, you gotta kind of put it out there.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that you and I both have tremendous friends on both sides of this coin. I mean, we do. I could pick up the phone. There are some people at St. Paul's, friends of mine, that if I needed them, I'd pick up the phone and say, hey, I need help.
Absolutely.
And they'd be right there.
Right there.
Same thing in a central board.
Right.
It's the same thing with the executive directors.
Right.
One of them.
That's right.
I know that.
Right.
And so as we hash this thing around, understand this is not a personal thing in any way.
No.
It is a lot of variables, and I don't understand all of them.
Right.
But I do know what I feel in my heart.
Yeah.
What I feel in my heart is that the decision made for the competitive balance along with the multiplier was incorrect.
Right.
I think
it's unfair.
That's wrong. I think it's unfair.
Yeah.
I think that, and I think had they done it, with everybody, and said everybody's in competitive balance, that
public
would have
schools,
been. We could have probably. I mean, I think private schools, and myself included. I'm a private school coach right now, so I would think I can stomach that. I can take that. Let's see how it works. I don't think if they were thinking, well, we're going to do this for a year, maybe change it. I think that was a bad plan. I mean, don't if you're going, you're thinking about changing it before you ever start it, then go ahead and change it.
Go ahead and change it. Yeah.
You know, don't wait till after the fact, because I think, but again, there may be things that they saw at the central board, they talked about, and they came up with that they felt like this was the way to go. And they're not stupid people up there. Those people are smart. They're good folks. I just think that for some reason this thing's gotten way out of kilter, and it shouldn't have happened. I'm just my opinion. It should not have happened. We shouldn't be having this discussion. We ought to be getting ready to play or have a great season coming up. You know, but competitive balance is out of balance. That's my
well, and deal. You know, let's hope that Judge Steele makes a ruling pretty quickly.
Yeah,
I was with a person yesterday who thought that the ruling would be passed. Just I didn't think it would be. I really did not believe that the decision would be rendered yesterday. And I think it may not be till maybe the latter part of next week.
How about this? How about me and you put some hot dogs from the Dewdrop on the outcome? I think he's going to say he's going to support the Alabama Central Board, High School Athletic Association Board, and that's the way it's going to. He's going to support that, and that's the way it's going to stay.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I think that Alabama High School Athletic Association will win this case.
I do too.
But there's still a lawsuit out there.
Yes.
And that lawsuit's got to be dealt with. Let's go to Solomon on the Premier Motorsports Communication Line. Solomon, how can we help you?
Man, it's good that you're talking on that particular topic and give some of the background on it. I know you guys, you're closely associated with the Alabama High School Athletic Association, but there are people out here that they've been alienated, disenfranchised from, and they have no trust, faith, or confidence in the Alabama.
Solomon, we lost you.
Okay. Well,
and I think what he was saying, maybe we can get him back on. I think what Solomon was trying to say was about there is a feeling out there that there is people who have no faith
in the High School Athletic Association.
And I will say this, that's not just private schools.
No.
It's public schools too.
Well, and the thing that Solomon needs to recognize is the Alabama High School Athletic Association they are the executive branch. They are the ones that carry out the laws that are passed by the schools. And so the schools, the legislative council, and the central board, when they pass these rules, then it's the job of the Alabama High School Athletic Association to enforce it.
Well, let me ask you this. Did that come out in the proposals? Was this done
through a proposal? No. No, the injunction was not.
No, not the injunction. I'm talking about the decision to implement competitive balance.
No.
That was not.
No. It was not voted on by the schools.
Had it been, it would have been the same thing.
Yeah, but it would not have passed. It would not have passed. Well, I say that. When I say passed, I don't think it would have come to fruition for the public and private schools to be involved. Now, I think all the public schools would have voted for it to be implemented with the way it's implemented
right,
now.
That's right. What
I think. But, you know, it's all supposition.
Yep.
It is. So
hope it works out.
We do, too. That's what we're hoping and praying for, and I think maybe we might hear something from Judge Steele later in the week. We'll be back with more PSR on the Prep Sports Radio Network and Radio Alabama.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile, is the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, as we talked this morning, you know, I'm going to share something I've read, and then it takes just a little bit, then we'll talk about it some. But it's a story about a 92-year-old petite, well-poised and proud lady who is fully dressed each morning by 8 o'clock with her hair fashionably fixed and makeup perfectly applied, even though she's legally blind, moved to a nursing home today. Her husband of 70 years had recently passed away, making the move necessary. After many hours of waiting patiently in the lobby of the nursing home, she smiled sweetly when told her room was ready. As she maneuvered her way to the elevator, a nurse provided a visual description of her tiny room, including the eyelet sheets that had been hung low in her window. "I love it," she said, with the enthusiasm of an 8-year-old having been just presented with a new puppy. "Mrs. Jones, you haven't even seen the room yet. Just wait." Ms. Jones says that doesn't have anything to do with it. Happiness is something you decide and go on ahead of time. Whether I like my room or not doesn't depend on how the furniture is arranged. It's all how I arrange my mind. I already decided I love it. It's a decision I make every morning when I wake up. I have a choice. I can spend the day in bed recounting the difficulty I have with the parts of my body that no longer work, or get out of bed and be thankful for the ones that do. Each day is a gift. As long as my eyes open, I'll focus on the new day and all the happy memories I've stored away just for this time in my life. She went on to explain, old age is like a bank account. You withdraw from what you've put in. So my advice to you would be to deposit a lot of happiness into the bank account of memories. Thank you for your part in filling my memory bank. I am still depositing. And with a smile, she said, remember, the five simple rules to be happy. Free your heart from hatred. Free your mind from worry. Live simply. Give more. Expect less. Man, I read that, and brother, I'm going to tell you something. It just hit me right in the heart. It really did. And I read it yesterday, and went to the Quail Creek. I was going to hit some balls, which is an ugly, ugly sight. I hadn't done it in a long time.
Right.
My son has just kind of, he's come back from Alabama, and he's wanting to learn how to play.
Right.
And so he kind of got me out there not long ago. But yesterday I was out there hitting balls, and I was sitting there hitting this and doing that, and my mind starts thinking about different things. And I thought about Henry Wise.
Yeah.
I thought about Henry. And for some reason, it got in my head of something that's on a board that we keep in our field house that Henry said. He said, we live a pretty incredible life.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. And it just, tears started coming down my face.
Sure.
Because I live a pretty incredible life.
Yeah.
Just the fact that I can wake up every day and make a choice of how I want to live my day. And you know, Rick, and most of the folks who listen to us know that today my life is so abundant. Every minute of it, I get to wake up and go, man, I feel pretty good. And I feel good, and I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know, because as I've said before, that I was taught, you know, every day is a gift. That's why they call it the present. That's a big deal to me.
You know, and this has been a big week for you, Mark. You celebrated an anniversary, and from someone who loves you beyond imagination sometimes. As we sat in that hospital waiting room, Michelle never blinked an eye. She never blinked an eye. Mark's going to be okay. And she was the rock that a lot of us needed when we needed to be her rock. She was the rock. And bless her heart, the medical struggles she's had to deal with, and you've had to be her rock. And so isn't it amazing the way it turned? Yes. Isn't it just amazing the way God operates in our lives? And so many times we're just so blinded by the light
right.
that we can't see. And it's just, I think about that often because, see, having known Mark and not known Michelle as well until the last few years, to know the transformation that has taken place in the struggles that you face, because, I mean, it was a tough, tough time for you after the accident.
Yeah.
It was tough. And you had to be what she has had to be for you. And, you know, the blind lady, the analogy, isn't that a beautiful story?
Yeah.
Because here she is. She's thankful for so many things, and she has so much less. In other people's eyes, in her own eyes, she has so much more.
She has it all tucked yeah. away in her memories. And it's just a great thing. You know,
yeah,
somebody said to us, said to me and Michelle, said, do you know your kids are some rare kids? Both of their parents have had near-death experiences.
Absolutely.
Both of y'all have been in a coma. Both of y'all have had to, you know, rise up from that to help each other.
Yep.
And they get to see that. What a lesson from that. I'm thinking, man, I never thought about it that way. At the time, I was just mad, you know, because Michelle had been sick. That just made me mad.
Right.
But today, I just wish that there was some way I could talk, go back and find myself when I was, you know, nearly 40 years old or 38 and teach myself what I've learned over
yeah,
the last 20 years.
We can't
years.
Do that, Mark.
We can't.
Nah.
But, man, I just say, hey, Mark, wake up, smell the coffee. Today's a great day. Your wife is still alive.
Yep.
You know, and that was the thing that I finally latched on to. It took a while.
Yep.
But God bless her. She 27 years with me.
That's
and,
amazing.
That's enough for any woman to put up with.
And what a beautiful family, I'm going to tell you right now, to see those boys come in there and just to... That'll be a lifetime memory for a lot of us, I can tell you that. Taught a lot of lessons to a lot of people, I can promise you that. Hey, you know what? We don't do this enough. We listen to the commercials and we talk about our sponsors, but there's so many people out there that do so much for us. I think about my buddy Shane over at Bayshore Landscapes, and we try to talk about him at least once or twice a week. But, you know, Shane, you can reach Shane at 251-554-5885. Boy, he'll take care of your yard and all the trimmings. Give him a call. Great, great folks. We appreciate everything they do. Our brothers over in Marietta and Douglasville and Canton, Williamson Brothers Barbecue. I met Clay with the grandkids last week and at Williamson Brothers. Went in, and the guy that's the manager, day manager, said, Coach, you got to take some barbecue sauce. Well, he gave me a bunch of barbecue sauce.
Good.
And he said, Coach, hold on. You got to take a rib or two just to eat on the way home. Boy, what great folks over at Williamson Brothers. We appreciate all of our sponsors, Eastern Shore Toyota, Alpha, all the folks that make this program go. And, boy, our good buddy Tim Cockrell up at Cockrell Body Shop, big Spanish Fort guy, Christ-centered man, love him to death. We hope you'll support those folks. Hey, we so much appreciate everything that's going on in high school sports, but we appreciate you for being a part of our show. Mark, thank you for the faith segment. It was amazing and it was touching. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. We'll see you same place, same time next week.